Loved it, you dirty girl, he says like it's obvious and not offensive. Just as I prepare myself to scream at him or knee him in the crotch, I try to calm down and think clearly for a second. I was just grinding on this guy and then I kissed him. Of course he's going to want more. What the hell is wrong with me? I just made out with a stranger in a club. This is not me. I'm sorry, but no, I say, and walk away. When I get back to my group, Trevor looks like he's about to fall asleep on the couch. I can't help but smile at his adorableness. Is that even a word? God, I drank too much. I take a seat and grab a bottled water out of the ice bin on the table. Have fun? Kimberly asks me, and I nod. Yeah, I had a great time, I say, despite what happened a few minutes ago.
Are you almost ready, honey? We have to get up early,
Christian says to Kim. Yep, I'm ready when you are. She runs her hand up his thigh. I look away and feel my cheeks flush. I poke Trevor. Are you coming or are you going to sleep here? I tease. He laughs and sits up straight.
I haven't decided. This couch is comfortable. The music's so soothing.
Christian calls the driver, who says he'll be here in a few minutes. We all get up and decide to walk down the spiral staircase that runs along one side of the club. At the first floor bar, Kimberly orders one last drink, and I debate whether to have another while we wait, but realize I've had enough. If I have another, I might pass out or throw up, neither of which I want to do. When Christian gets a text, we all move toward the exit. I welcome the cold air on my hot skin, thankful there is only a light breeze as we climb into the car. It's almost 3 a.m, and when we get back to the hotel, I'm drunk and starving. After raiding my mini-fridge and eating almost everything inside, I stumble over to the bed and plop down without even removing my shoes. Chapter 16. Tessa.
Shut up, I grumble when an obnoxious noise pulls me from my drunken slumber.
It takes me a few seconds to realize the noise isn't my mother yelling at me for something, but rather someone banging on my door.
God, I'm coming, I shout, and stumble my way to the door.
But then I stop and glance at the clock on the desk. It's almost 4 a.m. Who the hell could that be? Even in my drunken state, my mind begins to race with sharp fear. What if it's Harden? It's been over 3 hours since I drunk dialed him, but how would he find me? What will I say to him? I'm not ready for this. When the pounding recommences, I throw all my thoughts aside and swing the door open, preparing for the worst. But it's just Trevor. Disappointment stings in my chest, and I wipe at my eyes. I feel just as drunk now as I did when I lay down.
Sorry for waking you, but do you have my phone?
He asks. Huh? I say, and back into the room so he can enter. When the door swings shut behind him, we're engulfed in relative darkness, the only light being from the city outside my window. I'm too drunk to find the light switch, though.
I think our phones got switched. I have yours, and I think you grabbed mine by accident.
He holds my phone out in his palm.
I was going to wait until the morning, but yours just wouldn't stop ringing and ringing.
Oh, is all I say. I walk over and open my purse. Sure enough, Trevor's phone is sitting on top of my wallet. I'm sorry, must have grabbed yours in the car, I apologize and hand it to him.
It's okay. I'm really sorry for waking you up. You're the only girl I know who looks just as beautiful when she wakes up as she did.
A loud banging at the door cuts him off, and the sudden noise infuriates me. What the hell is this? Party in Tessa's room? I yell, and stomp to the door, ready to yell at whatever hotel employee is likely here to reprimand me for the noise Trevor made, ironically by making more noise than he did. Just as I reach the door, the noise gets even louder, which shocks me into stillness. Then I hear it.
Tessa, open this damn door.
Harden's voice booms through the air as if no barrier at all stood between us. A light flips on behind me, and I see Trevor's face pale with real fear. Harden finding him in my room won't go over well, regardless of what was really going on. Hide in the bathroom, I say, and Trevor's eyes widen.
What? I can't hide in the bathroom,
he exclaims, and I realize how ridiculous that idea is.
Open the fucking door,
Harden yells again, and then he starts kicking it, repeatedly.
I look at Trevor again before opening the door, trying to memorize his handsome face before Harden mutilates it. "I'm coming!" I yell, and open the door halfway to find a fuming Harden dressed in all black. My drunk eyes wander, and I notice that instead of his thick boots, he's wearing plain black Converses. I've never seen him in any shoes except his boots. I like these new shoes, but I'm getting distracted. Harden pushes the door open and blows right by me, going for Trevor. Luckily, I grab his shirt and manage to stop him somehow.
"You think you can get her drunk and come into her fucking hotel room?"
Harden screams at him and tries to surge forward. I know he isn't trying as much as he could, because in that case, I would surely be on the floor, not holding him by his thin shirt.
"I saw that light flip on through the peephole. What were you two doing alone in the dark here?" "I wasn't, I..."
Trevor begins. "Harden, stop it! You can't go around beating people up," I shout and tug at his shirt.
"Yes, I can, though,"
he growls. "Trevor," I say, "go back to your room so I can talk some sense into him. I'm sorry for his crazy-ass behavior." Trevor almost laughs at my word choice, but one look from Harden silences him. Harden turns to me as Trevor leaves the room.
"Crazy-ass behavior?"
"Yes, crazy. You can't just show up here and barge into my room trying to beat my friend up."
"He shouldn't have been in here. Why was he in here? Why are you still dressed? And fuck, where did that dress come from?"
he says, eyeing my body. I ignore the heat stirring in my belly and focus on my indignation. He came to get his phone because I took it by accident, and I can't remember any of the other questions you just asked, I admit.
"Well, maybe you shouldn't have drunk so much."
"I'll drink what and why and how and when I want, thank you." He rolls his eyes.
"You're annoying when you're drunk."
He flops down on the wingback chair. "You're annoying when you're... everything. And who said you could sit down?" I huff, crossing my arms. Harden looks up at me with those brilliant green eyes. God, he looks so hot right now.
"I can't believe he was in your room."
"I can't believe you're in my room," I counter.
"Did you fuck him?"
"What? How dare you even ask me that?" I shout.
"Answer the question."
"No, you asshole. Of course I didn't."
"Were you going to? Do you want to?"
"Oh my God, Harden, you're insane." I shake my head and pace between the window and bed.
"Well then, why are you still dressed?"
"That doesn't even make sense." I roll my eyes. "Besides, it's none of your business who I have sex with. Maybe I did have sex with him. Maybe I had sex with someone else." The corners of my mouth threaten a smile, but I force a straight expression as I say slowly, "You will never know." My words have the intended effect, and Harden's face turns dark, animalistic.
"What did you just say?"
he barks. Oh, this is much more fun than I thought it would be. I like being drunk around Harden because I say things without thinking, things that I mean, and everything seems funny. "You heard me," I say, and move to stand over Harden. Maybe I let the guy at the club take me into the bathroom. Maybe Trevor took me on this bed, I say, and casually look back at the bed over my shoulder.
"Shut up. Shut up now, Tessa,"
Harden warns me, but I laugh. I feel empowered, strong, and I feel like ripping Harden's shirt off of him. "What's wrong, Harden? Don't like the idea of Trevor's hands all over my body?" I don't know if it's Harden's anger, the alcohol, or the fact that I miss him, but without letting myself overthink my actions, I climb onto his lap on the chair. My knees rest on either side of his thighs. Completely taken aback by my action, if I'm not mistaken, he's shaking.
"Well, what are you doing, Tessa?"
"Tell me, Harden, do you like the idea of Trev..."
"Stop it. Stop saying that,"
he begs, and I oblige. "Oh, lighten up, Harden. You know I wouldn't do that." I wrap my arms around his neck. The nostalgic feeling that washes over me at being in his arms almost takes my breath away.
"You're drunk, Tessa,"
he says, and tries to remove my arms from around him. "So? I want you," I say, surprising both of us. I decide to shut my thoughts off, the logical ones anyway, and grab two fistfuls of his hair. Oh, how I've missed the way it feels between my fingers.
Tessa, you don't know what you're doing. You're wasted,
he says, but there's no conviction behind his voice. Harden, stop overthinking this. Don't you miss me? I say against his neck, sucking it lightly. My hormones have completely taken over, and I don't know that I've ever wanted him so badly.
Yes,
he hisses as I suck harder, sure to leave a mark.
I can't, Tess. Please.
But I refuse to stop, and instead rock my hips on his lap, making him groan.
No,
he whispers, and grips his large hands on my hips, stopping my movements. I snap and glare at him. You have two options here. You fuck me or you leave. You decide. What the hell did I just say?
You'll hate me tomorrow if I do this while you're in this state,
he says, and looks into my eyes. I already hate you, I say, and he flinches from my words. Sort of, I add more softly than I mean to. He loosens his grip on my hips, allowing me to move.
Can we at least talk about this all first?
No, stop being such a Debbie Downer, I groan, and rub myself against his leg.
We can't do this. Not like this.
Since when does he have morals? I know you want to, Harden. I can feel how hard you are for me, I say in his ear. I can't believe the dirty words falling from my drunken lips, but Harden's mouth is a deep pink, and his eyes are wide, almost black. Come on, Harden. Don't you want to bend me over this desk? Or the bed? The sink? So many possibilities. I whisper up close and gently bite his earlobe.
Fuck. Okay, fuck it,
he says and wraps his hands in my hair, pulling my mouth to his. The moment Harden's lips touch mine, my body ignites. I moan into his mouth and am rewarded with an equally feverish sound from Harden. My fingers thread through his hair and tug harder, not able to control myself or my need for him. I know he's holding back, and it's driving me crazy. My hands move from his hair down to the hem of his black t-shirt, gripping the fabric and pulling it up and over his head. The second the kiss breaks, Harden leans back slightly.
Tessa,
he pleads. Harden, I counter and run my fingertips over his ink. I've missed the way his hard muscles strain against his skin, the way the intricate black ink swirls and decorates his perfect body.
I can't take advantage of you,
he says, but then moans as I swipe my tongue over his bottom lip. I let out a derisive little chuckle. Just stop talking. As my hand reaches down to palm him through his jeans, I know that he can't resist me, which pleases me more than it should. I never thought I would be in a situation with Harden where I'd have all the control. It's amusing, really, the way we've switched roles. He's so hard and turned on, I climb off of him and reach for his zipper.
Chapter 17. Harden. My mind's racing and I know how wrong this is, but I can't help it. I want her. Need her. Long for her. I have to have her. And she gave me an edict to either leave or fuck her. So there is no way I'm leaving her if those are my options. The words that came out of her mouth sounded so unnatural, so strange, but so hot. Her small hands reach down to unbutton and unzip my jeans. When my belt hits my ankles, I shake my head. I'm not thinking clearly. I'm not thinking rationally. I'm wasted. Completely gone for this usually sweet, now wild woman that I love more than I can stand. Wait, I say again, not really wanting her to stop, but the good part of me wants to at least put up a little fight to ease the guilt it feels.
No. No waiting. I've waited enough.
Her voice is soft and teasing as she pulls my boxers down and grips me in her hand.
Fuck, Tessa. That's the idea. Fuck, Tessa.
I can't stop her. Not even if I wanted to. She needs this. Needs me. And drunk or not, I am selfish enough to take it if this is the only way I can have her wanting me. She drops to her knees in front of me and takes me into her mouth. When I look down at her, she looks up at me, batting her lashes. Fuck, she looks like an angel and the devil at once. So sweet and so goddamn dirty as she works her tongue around me, swirling and flicking. She pauses with my cock next to her face and asks with a smirk, "You like me like that?" I almost come from her words. I nod, unable to speak, as she swallows me again, hollows her cheeks and sucks harder, taking more of me into her sweet mouth. I don't want her to stop, but I need to touch her, to feel her. "Stop," I beg, and gently push her back by her shoulder. She shakes her head and tortures me by moving her head up and down at a dangerous speed. "Tessa, please," I moan, but I feel her laugh, a deep vibration that rumbles through me until, luckily, she stops just before I'm about to come down her throat. She smiles and wipes her now swollen lips with the back of her hand.
"You taste so good."
"Fuck, where did this dirty mouth of yours come from?" I ask her as she gets up off of her knees.
"I don't know. I always think these things. I just never have the balls to say them," she says, and moves toward the bed.
I almost laugh from her saying, "balls." It's so unlike her. But tonight she's in charge, and she knows it. I can tell she's enjoying this, having me at her complete and utter mercy. This dress she has on is enough to break any man. The way the fabric clings to her every curve, every dip in her flawless skin, is the sexiest thing I've ever seen. That is, until she pulls it over her head, tossing it at me playfully. I can literally feel my eyes straining to pop out of my head when I take her body in. The white lace of her bra is barely holding her full breasts inside, and her matching panties are bunched up on one side, revealing the soft skin between her hip and pubic bones. She loves to be kissed there, even though I know she's embarrassed by the thin, almost transparent white lines on her skin. I have no idea why. She is flawless to me, marks and all.
"Your turn."
She smiles and lets her heels hit the bed before she falls backward onto the mattress. I've been dreaming of this since the day she left me. I didn't think it would ever come, and now that it's happening, I know that I need to pay attention to every detail, because it probably won't happen again. I must pause a little bit too long, because she cocks her head up and looks at me with a raised brow.
"Do I need to start myself?"
she teases. Christ, she's insatiable right now. Instead of answering, I join her on the bed. I sit next to her legs, and she impatiently tugs at her panties. I move her hands away and pull them down for her. "I've missed you so much," I say. But she just grabs my hair and pushes my face down where she wants it. I shake my head but give in, pressing my lips against her. She whines and squirms under my tongue as I pay extra attention to her most sensitive bud. I know how much she loves this. I remember the first time I touched her, she had asked,
"What is that?"
Her innocence was, and still is, such a turn-on for me.
"Oh my God, Harden,"
she moans. I've missed that sound. Normally, I would say something about how wet she is, how ready, but I can't find any words. I'm too consumed by her noises and her hands gripping the sheets from the pleasure I'm giving her. I slip one finger inside of her, sliding in and out, and she whimpers.
"More, Harden, please, more,"
she begs, and I give her what she wants. I circle and curl both fingers inside of her before pulling them out and giving her my tongue. I notice her legs stiffening, the way they always do when she's close. I pull back to watch my fingers rub over her, quickly from side to side, and she screams, literally screams my name, as she comes all over my fingers. I stare at her, taking in every detail, the way her eyes screw shut, the way her mouth forms an almost perfect O, the way her chest and cheeks flush a light pink as she goes through her orgasm. I love her. Fuck, do I love her. I can't help but slide my fingers into my mouth after she finishes. She tastes so good, and it's something I hope I can remember when she leaves me again. The rapid rising and falling of her chest distracts me, and her eyes fly open. Her beautiful face holds a huge grin, and I can't help but smile as she hooks her finger to tell me to come closer.
Do you have a condom?
She asks wickedly as I lean over her.
Yeah,
I answer. A frown takes over the smile, and I hope she doesn't think too much into this.
It's just a habit,
I admit truthfully.
Don't care,
she mumbles, and looks over at my jeans on the floor. She sits up and grabs them, digging in the pockets until she finds what she's looking for. I reluctantly grab the foil packet and hold her gaze.
You're sure?
I ask for the 20th time.
Yes, and if you ask again, I will go down to Trevor's room with your condom,
she barks. I lower my eyes at her. She's ruthless tonight, but I can't imagine her with anyone but me. Maybe because it would kill me. My heart begins to race as I picture her with that faux Noah, my blood heating and my temper rising.
Have it your way, then. He'll be...
she starts to say, but I cut her off by placing my hand over her mouth.
Don't you dare finish that.
I growl at her and feel her lips pull into a smile beneath my hand. I know this isn't healthy, her antagonizing me this way and me fucking her while she's drunk, but it seems neither of us can help it. I can't deny her when I know she wants me. And there's the chance, the small chance, that if she's reminded of what we have together, she'll give me another shot. I remove my hand from her mouth and tear open the condom. As soon as I roll it on, she climbs onto my lap.
I want to do it this way first,
she insists, gripping my length before she lowers herself onto me. I let out a sigh full of defeat and pleasure as she rolls her hips against mine. She moves herself slowly in circles, creating the sweetest rhythm. The shape of her body, the perfect fullness of her curvy hips, is mesmerizing and so fucking sexy as she rides me. I know I won't last long. I've been deprived for too long. The only relief I've gotten lately is from myself, while imagining it was her.
Talk to me, Harden. Talk to me like you used to,
she whimpers, and wraps her arms around my neck, pulling me closer to her. I hate the way she says, used to, like it was really so long ago. I lift off the bed slightly to meet her movements and bring my mouth to her ear.
You like when I say filthy things to you, don't you?
I breathe, and she moans.
Answer me,
I say, and she nods her head, yes.
I knew you did. You try to act all innocent, but I know better.
I nip at her neck. My self-control has diminished, and I suck her skin harshly, making sure to leave a mark. For fucking Trevor to see. For everyone to see.
You know I'm the only one who can make you feel like this. You know no one else can make you scream the way I can. No one knows exactly where to touch you,
I say and reach down and rub her where our bodies join. She's soaking. My fingers glide easily over the moisture.
Oh, God,
she purrs.
Say it, Tessa. Say that I'm the only one.
I rub her clit in tighter circles and move my hips to thrust into her while she continues moving on her own.
You are.
Her eyes roll back in her head. She's so lost in her passion for me, and I'm joining her.
I'm what?
I need to hear her say it, even if she's lying. My desperation for her terrifies me. I grab her hips and flip us over, me hovering over her, and she shrieks as I pound into her, harder than ever before. My fingers dig into her full hips. I need her to feel me, feel all of me. and I need her to love the way I claim her. She's mine, and I'm hers. Her soft skin is glistening with sweat, and she looks absolutely delicious. Her breasts move rhythmically with my force, and her eyes roll back in her head.
You're the only one, Harden. The only,
she says. And I watch her bite her lip, grab at her face, and then at mine. I watch her come completely undone beneath me. And it's beautiful. The way she lets go of everything as she comes is too damn perfect. Her words are all I needed to find my own release, and she rakes her nails down my back. The sting is welcomed. I love the passion between us. I lean up, bringing her body with me, resting her on my lap so she can ride me again. My arms wrap around her back, and her head falls onto my shoulder as I lift my hips off of the bed. My cock moves in and out of her at a steady pace as I spill into the condom with a groan of her name. I lie back with my arms still wrapped around her body, and she sighs when I run my fingers over her forehead, pushing her sweat-soaked hair from her face. Her chest rises and falls, comforting me. I love you, I tell her, and try to look at her, but she turns her head and touches a finger roughly to my lips. Shh. I can't just shh. I roll her off and say softly, we need to talk about this. Sleep. Up in 3 hours. Sleep. She mumbles and wraps her arm around my waist. Her holding me feels better than the sex we just had. And the idea of sleeping in the same bed as her thrills me. It has been too long. Okay, I say and kiss her forehead. She flinches slightly, but I know she's too exhausted to fight me. I love you, I tell her again. But when she doesn't say anything else, I soothe myself by deciding she's already fallen asleep. Our relationship, or whatever this is, has done a complete turnaround in just one night. I have suddenly become everything I was terrified of being, and she has complete control of me. She could make me the happiest man on earth, or she could crush me with one word.
Chapter 18, Tessa. The song of my phone alarm breaks into my sleep like a dancing penguin. Literally, my dream mind incorporates it as a dancing penguin. But that pleasant fantasy doesn't last long. I wake up a little more, and my head immediately begins to pound. When I try to sit up, I am weighed down by something. Someone. Oh no. Memories of dancing with some creepy guy flood my mind. Panicked, I snap my eyes open, to find instead the familiar tattooed skin of Harden sprawled across me. He has his head on my stomach and an arm wrapped around me. Oh my God. What the hell? I try to push Harden off without waking him, but he groans and slowly opens his eyes. He closes them again and lifts himself off of me, untangling our legs. I jump off the bed, and when he opens his eyes again, he doesn't say anything, but just watches me like I'm some sort of predatory animal. The image of Harden thrusting himself into me relentlessly, and me calling out his name, plays through my thoughts. What the hell was I thinking? I want to say something, but honestly, I have no idea what. I am freaking out inside, having a total meltdown. As if sensing my struggle, he climbs off the bed, taking the sheet with him and wrapping it around his naked body. Oh my God. He sits in the chair and looks up at me, and I realize I'm only wearing my bra. Instinctively, I squeeze my legs together and sit back on the bed.
Say something,
he instructs. I don't know what to say, I admit. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe Harden is here, in my bed, naked.
I'm sorry,
he says, and his head falls into his hands. My head is pounding from the excessive alcohol I consumed only hours ago, and the fact that I slept with Harden last night. You should be, I mutter. He tugs at his hair.
You called me,
I didn't tell you to come here, I retort. I haven't decided how to handle this. I haven't decided if I want to fight with him, to kick him out, or to try to handle this like an adult. I get up and head for the bathroom, his voice traveling with me as I do.
You were drunk, and I thought you were in trouble or something, and Trevor was here.
I turn on the shower and look into the mirror. On my neck is a deep red bruise. Freaking hell. As I run my fingers over the sensitive mark, my mind travels to Harden's tongue on my skin. I must still be a little intoxicated because I can't think straight. I thought I was moving on, and yet here is my heartbreaker in my room, and here I am with a massive hickey on my neck like some wild teenager.
Tessa,
he says, and enters the bathroom as I step into the hot water. I stay quiet as the scalding water rinses off my sins.
Are you?
His voice cracks.
Are you okay with what happened last night?
Why is he acting so weird? I would have expected a cocky smirk and at least five "you're welcomes" the second his eyes opened. I don't know. No, I'm not okay with it, I tell him.
Do you hate me? You know, even more than before?
The vulnerability laced through his voice tugs at my heart, but I need to stand my ground. Everything about this situation is a mess. I had just started to get over him.
No, you didn't, my subconscious mocks, but I ignore her.
No, it's about the same, I say.
Oh.
I rinse my hair one last time and give a little prayer that the shower water will rehydrate me out of a hangover.
I didn't mean to take advantage of you. I swear it,
he says as I turn the shower off. I grab a towel off the small rack and wrap it around me. He is leaning in the doorway in only his boxers, his chest and neck littered with red spots of his own. I'm never drinking again.
Tessa, I know you're probably angry, but we have a lot to talk about.
No, we don't. I was drunk and called you. You came here and we had sex. What else is there to talk about? I'm trying to stay as calm as I can. I don't want him to know the effect that he has on me, that last night had on me. Then I notice the raw skin on his knuckles. What happened to your hands? I ask. Oh my God, Harden, you beat Trevor up, didn't you? I yell, then wince from the shooting pain in my head.
What? No, I didn't.
He raises his hands in defense. Then who? He shakes his head.
It doesn't matter. We have more important things to talk about.
No, we don't. Nothing has changed. I open my makeup bag and pull out the concealer. I begin applying it to my neck generously while Harden stands behind me silently. This was a mistake. I shouldn't have even called you, I finally say, annoyed when the third layer of concealer doesn't cover the spot.
It wasn't a mistake. You obviously missed me. That's why you called.
What? No, I called because... because it was an accident. I didn't mean to.
You're lying.
He knows me too well. You know what? It doesn't matter why I called, I snap. You didn't have to come here. I grab the eyeliner and begin applying it, thick.
Yes, I did. You were drunk and God knows what could have happened.
Oh, like what? I could have slept with someone who I shouldn't have? His cheeks flare. I know I am being harsh, but he should have known better than to sleep with me when I was so drunk. I rake my hairbrush through my wet hair.
You didn't give me much of a choice, if you remember,
he says equally harshly. I remember. I remember climbing onto his lap and grinding myself against him. I remember demanding he have sex with me or leave. I remember him telling me no and to stop. I'm humiliated and horrified at my behavior, but maybe worst of all, I'm reminded of the first time I kissed him and he claimed I'd thrown myself at him. Anger boils inside me, and I throw my brush against the counter with a loud clatter. Don't you dare try to blame this all on me. You could have said no, I shout.
I did, repeatedly,
he shouts back. I had no idea what was going on, and you know it, I half lie. I knew what I wanted. I'm just not willing to admit it. But he begins repeating my dirty words from last night.
You just taste so good. Talk to me like you used to. You're the only one, Harden.
And it pushes me over the edge. Get out! Get out now! I yell and go grab my phone to check the time.
You weren't telling me to get out last night,
he says cruelly.
I turned to face him. I was doing just fine before you even came here. Trevor was here, I say, because I know how mad it will make him. But he surprises me by laughing.
Oh, please. You and I both know Trevor isn't enough for you. You wanted me. Only me. You still do.
He scoffs. I was drunk, Harden. Why would I want you when I can have him? I instantly regret the words. Harden's eyes flash with either pain or jealousy, and I take a step toward him.
Don't,
he says, holding his arm out.
You know what? That's fine. He can fucking have you. I don't even know why I came here. I should have known you would act like this.
I try to keep my voice down before someone calls in a complaint, but I'm not sure I'm able to pull that off. Are you kidding me? You come here and take advantage of me and have the nerve to insult me?
Take advantage of you? You took advantage of me, Tessa. You know that I can't say no to you, and you kept pushing and pushing.
I know he's right, but now I'm pissed off and humiliated by my aggressive behavior last night. It doesn't matter who took advantage of who. All that matters is that you are leaving and not coming around me again, I say with finality, then turn the blow dryer on to muffle his comeback. Within seconds, he's ripped the blow dryer cord and nearly the outlet from the wall. What the hell is wrong with you? I yell, and plug it back in. You could have broken that. Harden's so infuriating. What the hell was I thinking, calling him?
I'm not leaving until you talk to me about all of this,
he huffs. Ignoring the pain in my chest, I tell him, I already told you. We have nothing to talk about. You hurt me, and I can't forgive you. End of story. As much as I try to fight it, deep down, I love having him here, even if we're fighting and yelling at each other. I've missed him so much.
You haven't even tried to forgive me,
he says, his voice much softer. Yes, I have. I have tried mentally to get over this, but I can't. I can't trust that this isn't still part of your game. I can't trust you won't hurt me again. I plug my curling iron in and sigh. I need to finish getting ready. When I turn the blow dryer back on, he disappears from the bathroom, and I hope he leaves. The small part of me that hopes he's sitting on the bed when I come out is an idiot. She isn't the rational part of me. She's the naive, ridiculous girl who fell in love with a boy who's the furthest thing from what she needs. Harden and I will never work. I know that. I just wish she did, too. I curl and style my hair, making sure that it will cover Harden's mark on my neck. When I walk out of the bathroom to gather my clothes, Harden is sitting on the bed, and that stupid girl rejoices a little. I grab my light red bra and panties out of my bag and slip them on without removing my towel. When I drop the towel, Harden gasps, then tries to hide it with a cough. As I slip a dress over my head, I feel like I'm being pulled toward him by an invisible string, but I fight it and grab my white dress out of the closet. I feel strangely comfortable around him right now, considering our situation. Why is all this so confusing and consuming? Why does it have to be so complicated? And most importantly, why can't I just get over him and move on? You really should go, I say quietly.
Do you need help?
He asks when I struggle with zipping the dress. No, I'm fine. I've got it.
Here.
He stands up to walk over to me. We are walking this fine line between love and hate, anger and calm. It's strange and surely toxic for me. I lift my hair and he zips my dress, taking longer than he should. I feel my pulse quicken and scold myself for allowing him to help me. How did you find me? I ask him, just as soon as the thought enters my mind. He shrugs like he didn't just stalk me across the state.
I called Vance, of course.
He gave you my room number? I'm not pleased at the idea.
No, the front desk did.
He gives a little smirk.
I can be very persuasive.
That the hotel would do that doesn't make me feel any better. We can't do this, you know, you making jokes and acting all friendly, I say, and step into my black heels. He grabs his pants and starts putting them on.
Why not?
Because it's not good for either of us to be around the other. He smiles, those evil dimples coming out.
You know that's not true,
he says casually and puts on his t-shirt. Yes, it is.
No.
Will you please just go, I beg?
You don't mean that. I know you don't. You knew what you were doing when you let me stay.
No, I didn't, I whine. I was intoxicated. I didn't know what I was doing at all last night, from kissing that guy to letting you in. Immediately, I snap my mouth shut. I did not just say that out loud. But by the way Hardin's eyes pop and his jaw clenches, I know that I did. My headache multiplies by 10 and I want to slap myself.
What did you just say?
He growls. Nothing, I...
You kissed someone? Who?
He asks, his voice strained as if he just ran a marathon. Someone at the club, I admit.
Are you serious?
He breathes, and when I nod, he explodes.
What the actual fuck, Tessa? You kiss some guy at a fucking club, then have sex with me? Who are you?
He runs his hands over his face. If I know him as well as I think I do, he's getting ready to break something. It just happened, and we aren't even together. I try to defend myself, but only make myself sound worse.
Wow. You are unbelievable. My Tessa would never kiss a fucking stranger at a club,
he barks. There is no your Tessa, I tell him. He just shakes his head no over and over and over again. Finally, he stares deep into my eyes and says,
You know what? You're right. And just to let you know, while you were kissing that guy, I was fucking Molly.
Chapter 19. Tessa. I was fucking Molly. 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 Hardin's words echo in my head over and over long after he slammed the door and marched out of my life forever. I try to calm myself down before having to go down to meet everyone. I should have known Hardin was toying with me. I should have known that he was still messing around with that skank. Hell, he was probably sleeping with her the whole time he was dating me. How could I be so stupid? I almost believed him last night when he said he loved me. I was thinking, why else would he drive all the way to Seattle? But the answer really is, because he's Hardin and he does things like that to mess with me. He always has and always will. Confusing me is this guilt I feel for blurting out that I kissed that guy, and the way I basically blamed Hardin for last night when I know I wanted it just as much as he did. I just don't want to admit that to him, or to myself, not really. Thinking of him and Molly together makes my stomach churn. If I don't eat something soon, I'll vomit, not only from my hangover, but from Hardin's confession. Molly, of all people. I despise her. I can picture her with her stupid smirk, knowing that her sleeping with Hardin again would torture me. These thoughts circle around me like vultures until finally, having pulled myself back from the abyss of a total breakdown, I dot the corners of my eyes with a tissue and grab my purse. In the elevator, I nearly lose it again, but by the time I reach the bottom floor, I've regained control.
Tessa,
Trevor calls from the other side of the lobby.
Good morning,
he says as he hands me a cup of coffee. Thank you. Trevor, I'm so sorry for Hardin's behavior last night. I start.
It's okay, really. He's a little... intense?
I almost laugh, but the thought of doing this makes me nauseous again. Yeah. Intense, I mumble, and take a sip of my coffee. He looks at his phone, then tucks it back into his pocket.
Kimberly and Christian will be down in a few minutes.
He smiles.
So, is Hardin still here?
No. And he won't be coming back. I try to sound like I could care less. Did you sleep well? I ask in an attempt to change the subject.
Yeah, but I was worried about you.
Trevor's eyes travel to my neck, and I move my hair to cover where my mark maybe is showing. Worried? Why?
Can I ask you something? I don't want to upset you.
His tone is cautious, and it makes me a little nervous. Yeah. Go ahead.
Has Hardin ever... You know, he hasn't ever hurt you, right?
Trevor looks at the ground. What? We fight a lot, so yeah, he hurts me all the time, I answer and take another gulp of the delicious coffee. He looks up at me sheepishly.
I mean, physically,
he mutters. I snap my head to the side to look at him. He didn't just ask me if Hardin puts his hands on me. I cringe at the thought. No, of course not. He would never do that. I can tell by the look in Trevor's eyes that he doesn't mean to offend me.
I'm sorry. He just seems so violent and angry.
Hardin is angry, and sometimes violent, but he would never, ever hurt me like that. I feel an odd wave of anger toward Trevor for accusing Hardin of such a thing. He doesn't know Hardin. Then again, neither do I, apparently. We stand in silence for a few minutes, and I ponder that until I spot Kimberly's blonde hair coming toward us.
I really am sorry. I just think you should be treated much better,
Trevor says quietly, right before the others join us.
I feel like shit. Absolute shit,
Kimberly groans. Me too. My head is killing me, I agree, as we all walk down a long corridor toward the conference center.
You look good, though. I, on the other hand, look like I just crawled out of bed, she says. You do not,
Christian says and kisses her forehead. Thank you, babe, but your opinion is quite biased. She laughs and then rubs her temples. Trevor smiles and says,
Looks like we won't be going out tonight.
Everyone readily agrees. When we arrive at the conference, I go straight to the breakfast bar and grab a bowl of granola. I eat it much faster than I should, and I can't seem to shake Hardin's words from my mind. I wish I had at least kissed him once more. No, I don't. I must still be drunk. The seminars go by quickly, and though Kimberly groans as the keynote speaker's voice booms far too loudly through the room, come the lunchtime break, my headache is almost completely gone. Noon. Hardin would be back home by now, probably with Molly. He probably drove straight to her place just to spite me. Have they already slept together in our room? I mean, our old room? In the bed that was meant for us. When I remember the way he touched me and moaned my name last night, my body is replaced by hers. All I can see is Hardin and Molly, Molly and Hardin.
Did you hear me?
Trevor asks and takes a seat next to me. I smile apologetically. Sorry, I was out of it.
I was wondering if you want to grab dinner tonight since everyone's staying in.
I look into his shining blue eyes, and when I don't immediately answer him, he stutters,
If you don't want to, that's okay too.
Actually, I would love to, I tell him.
Really?
He breathes. I can tell he thought I would turn him down, especially after Hardin's behavior toward him. For the next 4 hours of talks, I let it warm my heart that Trevor would still want to take me out even after being threatened by my crazy ex.
Thank goodness that's over. I need sleep,
Kimberly groans as we get into the elevator.
Looks like you're just not as young as you used to be,
Christian teases, and she rolls her eyes and leans against his shoulder.
Tessa, tomorrow we'll go shopping in the morning while these two are at meetings, she says, and closes her eyes.
Which sounds great to me, as does a nice quiet dinner in Seattle with Trevor. In fact, it sounds amazing after my wild night with Hardin. I'm a little uneasy about my behavior this weekend already, kissing a stranger, basically forcing Hardin to have sex with me, and now going to dinner with a third guy. But the last of these is the most benign, and at least I know there won't be anything physical involved. Not for you, sure, but for Hardin and Molly, my subconscious throws in. Man, she is getting on my nerves. At my door, Trevor stops and says,
I'll come get you at 6:30. Is that okay?
I answer him with a smile and a nod and go inside to the scene of the crime. I was going to try to take a small nap before my dinner with Trevor, but I end up taking another shower instead. I feel dirty from the events of last night, and I need to rewash Hardin's scent from my body. This time 2 weeks ago, I had thought everything would be so different right now, with Hardin and me getting ready to visit his mother in London for Christmas. Now I don't even have anywhere to live, which prompts the thought that I need to call my mother back. She called me multiple times last night. After I get out of my shower, I start reapplying my makeup and hit her number.
Hello, Teresa,
she says in a clipped tone. Hey, sorry I didn't call you back last night. I'm in Seattle for that publishing conference, and we were talking to clients later over dinner.
Oh, that's right. Is he there?
She asks, and I'm a little stunned she would even ask me that. No. Why do you ask? I say as nonchalantly as possible.
Because he called here last night trying to find out where you were. I don't appreciate you giving him this number. You know how I feel about him, Teresa.
I didn't give him the number. I thought the two of you ended things, she interrupts. We did. I did. He probably just needed to know something about the apartment or something, I lie. He must have been really desperate to get a hold of me if he called my mother's house. That thought hurts and pleases me at the same time.
Speaking of which, we can't get you into a dorm until Christmas break is over, but since you'll be off of work and school for the week, you can just come here.
Oh, okay, I agree. I don't want to spend my break at my mother's, but what choice do I have?
I will see you Monday. And Tessa, if you know what's good for you, you will stay far away from that boy, she says and hangs up.
Spending a week at my mother's house will be hell. I don't know how I lived there for 18 years. Honestly, I never realized how bad she was until I got a taste of freedom. Maybe since Harden is leaving the country Tuesday, I can stay in that motel for 2 more nights and go to the apartment while he's gone. As much as I don't want to ever go there again, it is still my name on the lease, and it's not like he would ever know. Scrolling through my phone, I see that I have no new messages or calls from him, though I knew that I wouldn't. I can't believe he would sleep with Molly and throw it in my face like that. The worst part is that if I hadn't blurted out that I kissed someone else, he would never have told me, just like with the bet that started our relationship. And that means I just can't trust him. I finish getting myself ready, deciding upon a plain black dress. My days of woolen pleated skirts seem so long ago. I apply another layer of concealer to my neck and wait for Trevor to come. True to his nature, he knocks on the door at exactly 6:30.
Chapter 20. Harden. I stare at my father's massive house, unable to decide whether or not to go inside. Karen has decorated the outside with too many lights, mini Christmas trees and what appear to be dancing reindeer. The blow-up Santa in the yard twists with the wind in a way that seems to mock me as I climb out of my car. Pieces of ripped-up airline tickets blow around the seat before I can close the door. I will have to call and make sure I can get a credit for the unused tickets, otherwise I just blew 2 grand. I probably should just go alone and escape this dreadful state for a while. But for some reason, going home to London doesn't sound as appealing with Tessa not coming along. I'm grateful that my mum was okay with coming here instead. She actually seems excited to come to America. As I ring my father's doorbell, I try to come up with an excuse as to why the hell I am here. But before I can conjure something, Landon appears. Hey, I say, as he opens the door wider for me to come inside. Hey? He questions. I dig my hands into my pockets, unsure what to say or do. Tessa isn't here, he says, and walks toward the living room, indifferent to my presence. Yeah, I know. She's in Seattle, I say, following a few feet behind him. So, I came to talk to you, or my dad, I mean Ken, or your mum, I ramble on. Talk? About what? He takes the bookmark from the book he's holding and begins to read. I want to snatch the book from his hands and toss it into the fire, but that won't get me anywhere. Tessa, I say quietly. My fingers fiddle with my lip ring as I wait for him to burst into laughter. He looks at me and closes his book. Let me get this straight. Tessa doesn't want anything to do with you, so you're here to talk to me? Or your father, or even my mother? Yeah, I guess. God, he's irritating. This is embarrassing enough. Okay. And what exactly do you think I can do for you? I personally don't think Tessa should ever speak to you again, and I honestly figured you would have moved on by now. Stop being a dick. I know I fucked up, but I love her, Landon. And I know she loves me. She's just hurt right now. Landon takes a deep breath and rubs his chin with his fingers. I don't know, Harden. What you did is pretty unforgivable. You humiliated her, and she trusted you. I know. I know. Fuck, don't you think I know that? He sighs. Well, seeing as you showed up here to ask for help, I'd say you get how messed up this whole situation is. So what do you think I should do? Not as her friend, but as my, you know, my father's stepson. You mean stepbrother? Your stepbrother. He smiles. I roll my eyes and he laughs. Well, has she talked to you at all? He asks. Yeah. I actually went to Seattle last night, and she let me stay with her, I tell him. She what? He is clearly surprised. Yeah, she was drunk. I mean, really drunk. And she practically made me fuck her. I notice his sour expression at my choice of words. Sorry, she made me sleep with her. Well, not made me, because I wanted to. I mean, how could I say no? She's just... Why am I even telling him this? He waves his hands in the air. Okay, okay, I get it, jeez. So, anyway, then this morning I said some shit that I shouldn't have said because she told me she kissed someone else. Tessa kissed someone? He asks, disbelief clear in his voice. Yeah, some guy at a fucking nightclub. I groan. I don't want to think about that again. Wow, she really is pissed at you, he says. I know. What did you say to her this morning? I told her that I fucked Molly yesterday, I admit. Did you? You know, have sex with Molly? No, God no. I shake my head. What the hell is going on here that I am having some twisted heart-to-heart with Landon of all people? Then why did you say that you did? Because she angered me, I shrug. She kissed someone else. Okay, so you said that you slept with Molly, who you know Tess despises, just to hurt her? Yeah. Good idea, he rolls his eyes. I wave his snarky movement away with a strong hand. Do you think she loves me? I ask, because I have to know. Landon snaps his head up, suddenly serious. I don't know. He's a terrible liar. Tell me. You know her better than anyone, except me. She loves you. But because of how you betrayed her, she's convinced that you never loved her, Landon explains. It breaks my heart all over again. And I can't believe I'm asking for his help, but I need it. What can I do? Will you help me? I don't know. He looks up at me with uncertainty, but he must see my desperation. I guess I can try to talk to her. Her birthday is tomorrow. You know that, right? Yeah, of course I know that. Do you have plans with her? I ask him. He better not. No, she said she's going to stay at her mother's house. Her mother's house? Why? When did you talk to her? She texted me about 2 hours ago. And what else is she supposed to do? Stay at a motel by herself on her birthday? I choose to ignore his last question. If I'd just kept my cool this morning, she might have possibly let me stay another night with her. Instead, she's still in Seattle with fucking Trevor. I hear footsteps coming down the stairs, and my father's body appears in the doorway a moment later. I thought I heard your voice. Yeah, I came to talk to Landon. I lie. Well, it's half the truth. I was going to talk to whoever I saw first. I'm pathetic. He looks surprised.
You did?
Yeah, also, Mum is coming Tuesday morning, I tell him. For Christmas.
That's great to hear. I know she misses you, he tells me.
My first instinct is to think of a comeback, some remark about how shitty a father he is, but I simply don't feel like it.
Well, I'll leave you two boys to talk,
he says, and walks back to the stairs.
Oh, and Harden,
my father says when he's halfway up.
Yeah? I'm glad you're here. Okay, I state. I don't know what else to say. My dad gives me a tight smile and continues up the stairs. This whole day is a fucking mess. My head hurts. Well, I guess I'm going to go, I say to Landon, and he nods. I'll do what I can, he promises as I walk to the door. Thanks. And when we both stand awkwardly in the doorway, I mumble, you know I'm not going to, like, hug you or some shit, right? As I walk out the door, I hear him laugh and shut the door.
Chapter 21, Tessa.
Big plans for Christmas?
Trevor asks. I raise one finger to tell him to wait a moment while I savor this bite of ravioli. The food here is excellent, and I'm no foodie, but I imagine this has to be a 5-star restaurant.